Okay, hello again, back from lunch. We have two lectures left for today. And after the lectures, as I told already, we will have the workshops and BOFs. I'll just briefly name the BOFs which are taking place immediately after the lectures, starting at 3:30. Workshop by Tim Blechmann and Ketil Mathisen on PD scripting workshop, and on Jack by Paul Davis, on Muse Future Development, Frank Neumann, Reinhard Katzmann and Georg Rudolph about Note Edit, and yeah, that's about it. There are some other BOFs also, but they are a little bit later. And again, please, meeting point is outside at the info desk, and there you can also register. Now we are coming to Mareje Bahlmann. Mareje, most of you have seen her and heard her probably yesterday in the concert. She will not talk about the sensor system she was using yesterday, but about the Wonder software. For those who have been here last year, you know already about this software. She had an installation here last year, and we could see it, how it worked, everything. And now she's
here.
Sorry?
And here how it works.
And here. And now she's talking about updates on the Wonder software. Thank you very much, Mareje.
Thank you, Götz, for the introduction. Yes, my talk will be about the updates of the Wonder software, and which is still a little bit work in progress also. And I will first talk a bit about what is wave field synthesis, so you get an idea of what the program is actually meant to do, and give a short overview of Wonder, and talk about the updates, and then I'm going to demonstrate a bit. Unfortunately, it's still like in development, and unfortunately I couldn't do it on my own computer due to some screen resolution stuff. So it will be a bit experimental. And then I'm, yeah, then the to-do list and future work, etc. comes. Okay, wave field synthesis is based on a principle of Christian Huygens, who had a theory about how waves propagate in space. And his theory was you have a source which emits waves. Like the lines here you see are the wavefronts, like there where the wave is in equal phase. And he stated that if you'd imagine that on one of these wavefronts, there would be a lot of other small sources, which each would emit waves, then these emitted waves would add up to the next wavefronts. And this is actually the principle on which wave field synthesis is based. You take a lot of speakers, but instead of the curved row of speakers, you take a linear array of speakers, and you take into account the different delays, factors, and amplitude factors, and then you can create an arbitrary wave field. Like you can put a source here, but you can also say, I want a source there, and adapt the speaker signals for that. And then you can also say, I want to move the source around, create some kind of virtual moving sound. Which is also possible is that you can put a source in front of the speakers and create a wave field which first, like it focuses, all the energy of the waves get to a focus point, and from there they go further in space again, and you really get the impression that the sound source is in front of the speakers. Just one more slide. And so this will be the general setup. You have the speakers, and they emit the waves of the virtual source, which will be somewhere here. I have an image of the practical. This is a photograph of the prototype system in the TU studio. We have 24 little speakers set up. There's a couple of digital analog converters, and it's all attached to a PC. At the moment, we have a Pentium 3 gigahertz, or an AMD Athlon 64-bit 3 gigahertz machine. And on that is running the software, and it can create the signals for all these speakers with an RME Hammerfall sound card. Then I'll try to get back here. So what is Wonder? The name is an acronym. It stands for Wavefield Synthesis of New Dimensions of Electronic Music in Real Time. And it's meant to provide a graphical user interface to use Wavefield Synthesis. It's built up of three main tools. One is a grid definition, one is a composition tool, and one is a play interface. And then there's some additional tools to manipulate the data that is created and view the data. And also the play interface is controllable via Open Sound Control. So you can use another program to send location information for your sources. And that also makes it possible to more or less synchronize it with the audio you're creating. So, for example, you're using Tupper Collider to create the audio. You can also send the control data from there and link the two. So what has been done in the last year at least made it possible that it actually will work on more than one computer. Made some cosmetic improvements, also made a couple of, which was probably bad design from the start, but I tried to fix those things so that all the graphical overviews you have the same options, and then the special options for that tool. I created some new tools. There were some changes in the convolution engine that I use, BruteFAR, which improved the communication with BruteFAR. I made a kind of log view in which this communication with BruteFAR is documented, and also all the messages you get in the status bar are recorded there, so you can look back if you missed them to see what went wrong. And I included a browsable help documentation within the program, so you can easier get to help. And I also am trying now to do more of these what's this tooltips. Now I will get to the experimental part of demonstrating it on a computer that's not my own, and with just 15 minutes of testing, does it work actually? This is the startup screen. I'll just sit down. This is the startup screen you get when you open the program. I made a preferences dialog where you can set a default array configuration, default initialization file, default work path where you want to put your files where you that you create your projects for. You need to indicate the location of two help programs. The OSC server is a program that is distributed with Wonder, but you need to tell here where it is. You need to tell where BruteFAR is, You can choose where to store your temporary files, and you have to tell the program where the help files are located. And this function is becoming obsolete slowly with the real-time capabilities stuff. If you're done setting these, which probably you only need to do when you for the very first time install the program, then you click OK. Then you have to reload them to actually make them active for this running session. And if the next time you start up the program, it will look into the defaults file and start these defaults. To create an array configuration, there's this dialog. You can set the number of speakers and the number of speaker segments. I will just demonstrate this. I now choose three segments. I then want to define the first one. I tell, okay, this is like 8 speakers. There are 12.5 centimeters apart from them. The window width is something you have to define because there are some edge effects which you need to avoid when using wave field synthesis. And here you can set how long this windowing should be. 20% is good standard value to use, and then you can have two options for setting the location of the speakers. You can either define a midpoint of the segment and an angle from the reference points, which is the zero point here, which is indicated, an angle which it makes with regard to that point. And the other option is you can set a start and end point of the array segment, which in some cases might be more convenient. For now, for segment one, we just stick with this. If we click store, then we see the 8 speakers. It now still has the old segments also, so I need to this one, I just say now I created a second segment here, and the third one I will just now I have three segments, one on the left, one on the right, and one in the front. And then I can say store, and then it automatically loads it also to the play interface. What next to show? A grid definition. At the moment, you have to calculate the points which you want to use in a live setup. You have to define them before, and that's what this tool is for. You can define a number of points. I'll just show here, I can change the scaling a bit, so I have more space behind the speakers also. And I can close it again. Then I can choose a new segment. I can say, well, they have to be point sources or plane waves. Point sources have like a defined location. Plane waves, they only have a direction, it's like a source which is like infinitely far away, and the wavefronts have become like planes. Then for each segment, I can set a couple of things. I can indicate whether or not I want to take or simulate high frequency damping, which normally happens with sound through the air. I can say I want to have reflections for the segment, and then you can define a virtual room. I implemented a very simple model of a rectangular room, and you can define the front, back, left, and right walls, and you can like draw the room, and you can set the absorption coefficients, and if you then the absorption is indicated by how dark the wall is drawn also, so we have a kind of direct feedback on how transparent the wall is and how much it reflects. And you can set the order of reflections, which indicates how many reflections you will actually calculate. And then for the points themselves, I can draw like little rectangle, and then inside this rectangle I will calculate points, and here I can set like how far these points will be from each other. I can set that in the x direction or y direction. And or I can say I want it more kind of radial than from the reference point, which is should normally be a point in the middle of the listening area. I can say, okay, I want to have an angle fraction, and I can set a radial kind of distance. And I can, from a certain radius, I can say, well, I want just points in a distance which, after which so much attenuation has been there. You can set the that in dB there. Then you can also draw different types of areas. You can say, I just want to calculate it on a line. You can just draw a line. Or you can say, I want an ellipse. Then I can make these kinds of things. Then I could store this. Then I have one segment. Then I can take another segment. And there I can say, okay, I want actually from this ellipse, I don't want to use a certain part of the area. And then I can say, okay, I make an exclusion area. And then I say, okay, in this area, I don't want to calculate points. There's this one thing, which is the layer. And if points are in the if segments are in the same layer, then the exclusion layers are applied to them. So you can create different layers of segments. For example, if I want in this area to have another layer where there will be points with other properties, then I can easily create that by that. This I can also store. Then if I press calculate, okay, I have too many points now. It gives an error message there if there's too many points for the system to handle. Then I have to create here. Let's say I take them 1 meter apart, then I should fine, I hope. Store it again, calculate. Now you see here I have a couple of points calculated. When I'm done with that, I can go to the filters. I can calculate them. then you get a little watch to tell it's doing something. Which is a very good thing, I remember from the last talk. Now I'm wondering why it takes so long, actually. This actually should not take so long. Okay. Just going for the
restart?
I want to get to the terminal there.
Okay, just
let's so we just do the quick exit. So that was the grid tool. It's still work in progress, as I mentioned before. Then there's another way to work with the program, which is to really predefine paths through space with the composition tool. And here I can set like a total duration, whether the composition has to loop or not. Then I can define a source, I can give it a name. I could possibly give it the name of the audio track it's associated with. So I know it's okay, that's that source. So here we just say luck demo source one. It's just a label, so we can just type in anything. Here I can set again whether I want a plane wave, and I can set the direction of the plane wave like this. Or I take a point source, and then I can set it like this. Here we have again the limits options. And I can calculate a room again and draw it, set some absorption coefficients. Basically, this is the same as before. I can also say, okay, I want the room to change over time during the piece. Then you say, okay, I take a variable room, and then you can define different rooms between which it has to change. And I can say I want to have movements. Then you have to set a number of breakpoints. It will calculate for the whole movement throughout the piece. And you can then divide the movements in different time sections. For now, I just demonstrate one. You can set the start and end time of the section. You can say, okay, I want the movement to loop within the section. And you can set a start point for the section, so which is indicated with a smaller dot on the screen. And then you can set how many segments the movement will consist of. And then you can define this, and then you can draw it. The segment choice is automatically focused when you start moving, so you can just with arrow keys you can switch between these segment numbers and draw the path quite quickly. The only thing is you then still have to go back and set the start and end times. I'm planning to create a kind of timeline where you can just click to set the start and end times, which will probably make it easier. No, I on purpose make a little mistake here, so I will get an error message later on. Then you can store this all. Then you go to the test. And here I've apparently made some mistakes. Below here it says please correct errors, and it indicates where it has a problem. So okay, I set the start time here wrongly. It should be after the end time of this other one. And there's some problem with the walls, which I should check out what's going on there. And then I can go back and make changes to correct these mistakes. And if after maybe a couple of times going through and fro, I have a good setup, then I can make a calculation. And then you can just see here the tab. It's now all disabled. Then you can say, okay, save the filters, save the scores, save the corresponding grid, and save the composition. And then you can click OK to close. Then what I want to show, which is still in an experimental stage also, which is another way to create a score, where you can more have a timeline-based view. You can have the X position and the Y position, and you can create a path here. And if you select it, then you see the path through space in a 2D view. This is still very experimental, but it gives an idea of what it's going to be. Then I show one or two screenshots of other things. This was the array definition. It's kind of readable. This is a tool to view the filters that you have actually calculated for each point. And what it indicates here, well, here you can load a file. You can choose the file and then load it. And then you get information about, there's some information about the filter length, number of grid points in the grid, the number of speakers it was the filters were calculated for. And then here you have the what is the current point, and you can switch between the points. And then you see the impulse responses for each speaker. Like you have in this direction are the speakers. And then for each speaker you have here, like here is the start of the filter, kind of impulse response. And in that direction is the time. And then you can clearly see, like this first line is the first impulse. It's like the direct sound. And further away you have like the reflections from the walls. You can here set the intensity of these impulses to see some more detail at on the lower end. And here you have the parameters of the room you can see, and the position and the order of calculation. And this is basically a tool to check, did I calculate some? Well, it's first to debug. You can easily see, okay, something went horribly wrong, or to get an understanding of what is going on, what you're calculating, what you're doing. This was the composition tool. This I also showed. This is the play interface. I made a couple of changes to the transport system, which now looks a bit nicer, I think. You can record a score. If you use the interface to just move around sources. You can record these movements. You can play, pause, stop. You can set the looping option, whether or not it has to loop after the score has been played. And here you see the current time, and here the total time of the score. And here there's, which are disabled now because it's a screenshot of when it was playing. You can open or save a score. What else? I think I have one more screen. Things I can. This is the log view, which basically records all the status bar messages, and you see the brute FAR communication there, so you can see what's going on. You can also save this for if you just want to. You can clear the contents if you want to get rid of all the old information. And there's an update button just in case some messages didn't arrive yet. Or here's the transport in Rio. And I made a help function, which is basically a simple HTML browser to browse the help documentation. So you can look, okay, what is that meant for? What do I have to do there? Anything else to show? I created some other tools. You can merge different grids with each other so they get into one file. You can make transformations. Like you say, okay, I had this all like right in front of me. I want to change the movement and have it like 30 degrees rotated, then there's some tools to easily do that without having to retype anything. You can just say, okay, I want from there to there, I want everything turned around. I think I'm running out of time, so I just get to what still needs to be done part. Working on this, the last changes, I noticed I should really do something about my data management and use less, put less in memory and more in temporary files, I think. I still want to do something about synchronization, maybe at JAC transport kind of stuff, or SMTPE for synchronization with players of audio tracks. I'm considering to use SuperCollider as an alternative for convolution engine, because that makes a couple of other things easier to do and more flexible. So I'm now looking into the convolution algorithms that are there in SuperCollider. They're not very good yet. So I'm thinking of porting the brute FAR algorithm to SuperCollider. So there's something efficient there. Then I have a student working on a connection with another program for room simulation called Ease, which is a commercial application which runs under Windows. But it's a very extensive program, so if you want to have simulate like a real room, you could use that. So we're creating a kind of, there will be an option in Wonder where you say, okay, I want this grid segment to have points calculated with ease. And then there's a script to automate most of the things you have to do in ease to calculate these things. And the topic on which I'm now working on as PhD is to create some kind of option to not to just have like a point source, like a mathematical point or a plane wave, but have some way to model like a real sounding object and enable you to like define how it vibrates on the surface, and then you can then to play this back over wavefield synthesis. So this is still in a very early stage, and working on the theory on how to do this, and this will eventually also be implemented in this software. And last week I registered at SourceForge to unfortunately the name Wonder was already taken by some networking program. So I chose the name Swander, not to break my acronym, so now it's Sound Wavefield Synthesis of New Dimension, etc. yeah. That's it, I think.
Okay, thank you very much, Marije. Any questions about Wonder or Swander? Internet, yes?
I have one question from Remy Bernard France, and he wants to know what concrete applications does this project have?
Well, it's okay, it's meant to control a wavefield synthesis system, so you do need to have a lot of hardware available, but at the moment I'm getting more and more questions also here already from people who want to start with this technique in institutes, and for them also to have an open source project to which they can contribute is, I think, a very good thing to do. And we are also in Berlin enable composers to work with the system, so for them it's also a good application to use, also because it's possible to interact with it from software that is used by composers to create electronic music.
Another question from the internet?
Coming in one after another. Carsten Wiese would like to know, what is the minimum number of speakers that you need for effective wavefield synthesis?
The smallest setup I made was with 8 speakers. I did a small demo at STIM with just 8 speakers, and it kind of worked. I mean, there are some limitations. The main limitation is that the further apart the speakers are, the lower the frequency for which it correctly works. It has to do with aliasing problems in the spatial domain you get when the speakers are too far away. I also tried with 16 speakers, which also worked quite well. And in Berlin we have 24 speakers, even though we would like to have more to get a surround setup.
One question from here, from the room.
Bruno Friedmann from Germany. I have a question to the maximum of grid points. Is there any other limitation than the calculation time?
At the moment, the main problem is that Brute FAR at startup wants to store all the filter coefficients in memory, and so this the limit is actually then your memory, which is also why I want to change to SuperCollider, because there I can more easily like load from disk into a buffer like filter coefficients, and then I can change to that make easier changes between grid points, and have then I should have an unlimited amount, well, limited by your disk space probably then.
Probably another one about the resolution. Do you have any idea of the resolution of the grid points? The distance between you choose 1 meter, is that reasonable?
1 meter is actually quite far, I think, to put them apart. But we haven't done any serious tests on what would work best. So at the moment, it's something you have to experiment when you are making a piece with it. You have to experiment what are the best settings for what I want to do. I think it also depends on the sound you have. Like with some sounds, it might be more critical to if they're far apart and so.
Okay, another question from the internet.
Nick Mainsbridge from Sydney, Australia asks, what functionality do you particularly need from Ease?
It's basically to for room simulations, if you want to have reflections. Ease is very extended in how it can calculate rooms and quite accurate in its field. So it's, so at the moment it's really a very, very simple model that I have implemented. So it's a more option to create a more realistic virtual space. Hope that answers the question.
François Adriaansen from Belgium. I have two questions. First, the room definition. I was asking myself, what is it used for? Do you want to simulate that room? Or is it to cancel the effect of the room that you are working in?
It is to simulate a room. There's other institutes also working on room cancellation effects and also trying to cancel reflections from flat panel loudspeakers if they're used. But this is not a thing we are researching now at the TU. I would be happy if someone wants to contribute code to also enable these options, of course.
My second question is regarding the filters. When I saw the filter view, I had the impression that a typical filter is just a series of impulses. So maybe you could use something simpler than a general filter program to execute them.
If there's direct sounds, I did some tests with SuperCollider just to use delay lines, mm-hmm. and that really gives a smoother movement. But it was Brute of Air was more efficient in doing the real-time calculations, so it's still a bit of a trade-off. Do I want the smoothest movement, or do I want to have more sources and need more calculation power? And I'm also considering to create a kind of hybrid system to use like delay lines for the direct sounds, and then only for when I have reflections, use switching between filters for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we are running out of time, but we will have one last question.
Yes, Florian Grote, Germany. Actually, two very small questions. First of all, is it possible to reproduce the system with standard audio hardware?
We used standard commercially available hardware, so yes.
And then would it also be possible to have your system available to, like, say, your digital audio workstation like Ardour as a, say, deluxe surround panner that you can have your audio data in your audio workstation mm-hmm. and then use this as a surround panning device?
Well, I think last year I suggested to Paul Davis to add OC tracks to Ardour, and then you could control it from Ardour.
Okay. So. Well, thank you.
Okay, so this seems to be quite a very interesting topic, but maybe you could do just the BOFs afterwards or mm-hmm. Meet the people in a smaller circle. But we should now have a short break, and we'll continue with Georg Böhn's lecture. Thank you very much, Marije, for this interesting talk.